श्री चैतन्य जयनित्यानंद जय द्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्तवृंद जय जय श्री चैतन्य जयनित्यानंद जय द्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्तवृंद जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद जय अद्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्तवृंद Today we're reading from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, chapter 10, The Lord's Return to Jagannath Puri, texts 12 and 13. And 12 is a primary verse, so we'll do it together. Bhavad vidha bhagavatas Kirti bhutha swayam vibhu Kirti kurvanti tirthani Svantastena gada britaha Bhavad vidha bhagavatas Kirti bhutha swayam vibhu Kirti kurvanti tirthani Svantastena gada britha Bhavad vidha bhagavatas Kirti bhutha swayam vibhu Kirti kurvanti chetani Svantastena kadabhita Bhagavad Gita Bhagavatas Kirti bhutha swayam vibho Kirti kurvanti chetani Svantastena kadabhita Ladies?
Bhavadvidha
Bhagavatas Kirti Bhutha Swayam Vibho Kirti Kurvanti Chetani Svantastena Kadabhita Bhavadvidha Bhagavatas Kirti Bhutha Swayam Vibho Kirti Kurvanti Chetani Svantastena Kadabhita Bhavat, your good self, Vida, like, Bhagavata, devotees, Kirti, as holy places of pilgrimage, Buddha, existing, Swayam, themselves, Vibho, Almighty One, Tirthi Kurvanti, make into holy places of pilgrimage, Tirthani, the holy places, Svaantastena, being situated in their hearts, Gadabrita, by the personality of Godhead. Translation. Saints of your caliber are themselves places of pilgrimage. Because of their purity, they are constant companions of the Lord, and therefore they can purify even the places of pilgrimage. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. This verse, spoken by Maharaj Yudhisthira to Vidura in Srimad Bhagavatam 1.13.10, is also quoted in the Adi Lila 163. Text 13. Vaishnavere ehaya ekasva bhava nischala tenho jivana hinahana svatantra isvara. A Vaishnav travels to the places of pilgrimage to purify them and reclaim fallen conditioned souls. This is one of the duties of a Vaishnav. Actually, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was not a living entity, but the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. Consequently, he is fully independent controller. Yet he is in a position of as a devotee. Yet in a position as a devotee, he carries out the activities of a devotee. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur points out that because there are many permanent residents in holy places who do not precisely follow the rules and regulations governing living in a holy sacred place, exalted devotees have to go to these places to reclaim such persons. This is the business of a Vaishnava. A Vaishnava is unhappy to see others materially enmeshed. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught these activities of a Vaishnava, although he is the worshipable deity of all Vaishnavas, the complete and independent Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is Purna Sudyo Nitya Mukta, complete, completely uncontaminated, and eternally liberated. He is Sanatana, for he has no beginning or end. Om Ajnana Simirandasya Gyanandana Salakaya Chakshurun Militam Gena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. So today is also the appearance day of Vakreshwara Pandit. So first we'll talk about him and explain how this verse also applies to him. Then a lot of devotees, sometimes it's hard to follow the storyline of how things fit in, who's speaking, what they're saying, why they're saying it, and how this verse fits in. So I'll explain a bit about that and about how Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is using this particular conversation with King Pachaparudra to create anticipation and rasa for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then finally, we'll discuss the source of the verse, Maharaj Yudhisthira speaking it to Vidura and how that fits in. So Vakreshwara Pandit, from the Gauragona Deshtipika, which is a book explaining who the devotees in Krishna Lila are in Gaura Lila, explains, Vakreshwara Pandit is the fourth member of the Chaturvyuha, Aniruddha, as Vasudev, Sankarshan, Pradumna, and Aniruddha. He's Aniruddha. He brought happiness to the Lord by dancing in the mood of Krishna. He would sweetly say to Mahaprabhu, O merciful Lord, give me 1,000 singers so that I can dance. Radha's dear Saki, Sashi Rekha, also entered into him. Gauragona Deshtipika 71. Vakreshwara Pandit was extremely, he's like a limb of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He's Aniruddha. So he was always with Mahaprabhu. He was a constant companion. He's not always mentioned, but his name is there. He was, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in Navadvip, he was part of that Leela. And especially in Srivasangam's house, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came back from Gaya after performing his father's Pinda ceremony, and they started the kirtans, Vakreshwara Pandit was like a main kirtaniya and a dancer. He loved to dance. And we can just imagine, sometimes we see how beautiful dance can be, how the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Chaturvyuha, is a Vishnu Shakti, not just an ordinary jiva. How his dancing must have been so pleasing. And one time, it's a famous story, he entered into an ecstasy where he just continued dancing and dancing and dancing, and the devotees had to create like a schedule of one person would do kirtan and he would get tired, and another person for 72 hours for 3 days. It wasn't that they were just playing a soft tune and he was kind of just going like this so that he could break the marathon. He actually, break the record, he was in total ecstasy, just dancing and spinning, absorbed in Krishna Lila, and they wanted to assist and help and keep this devotee. And by looking at his features, they all became absorbed. So for 72 hours, he performed that Lila. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it describes, Vakreshwara Pandit is the Lord's dear servant who danced without rest for 72 hours. Mahaprabhu himself sang as he danced when Vakreshwara fell down at his feet and said, O moon-faced Lord, give me 1,000 Gandharvas I will be happy if I can dance while they sing. The Lord answered, you are like a wing. If I had another one like you, I would be able to fly. Another famous story about Devana, about Bhakrishra Pandit. Today's Mayapur is where 500 years ago the town of Navadvip was. And across the river, which is now Navadvip, was called Kulia. Bhaktivinoda Thakur did this research and realized that the shifts and floods of the Ganges from 500 years ago had changed. So today what we call Navadvip, Nadia used to be on the other side of the river. So this is where Mahaprabhu and Srivasangam and all those devotees lived. And there was bazaars and there was a whole town. But across the river, which was Kulia, was another town, which is today Navadvip. And there was one famous Bhagavat reciter named Devananda Pandit. And Devananda would give beautiful Bhagavatam classes. So one time Srivas Thakur took the boat across the river and went to hear. He had heard about this wonderful reciter of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And he was sitting in the class with all Devananda's disciples. And as Devananda was speaking, Srivas Thakur became emotional. He became absorbed in the class and started to weep and shake and exhibit signs of ecstasy. And some of Devananda's disciples, people who were sitting there listening to him, were disturbed by this. So they removed him from the class. They took Srivas Thakur out and said, you know, best you don't come to this class, you leave. So when Mahaprabhu heard about this, he was very upset, very disturbed. He said, this person is speaking the Bhagavat, but because he doesn't understand that service to the devotees is service to Bhagavat, therefore he'll never really understand the true purport of Srimad Bhagavatam, although he can speak so nicely and he's famous for it. He doesn't understand the real essence. Devananda had heard this also. He was very disturbed that Mahaprabhu would not give him his mercy. After he took sannyas, Bhakrishra Pandit also traveled with Mahaprabhu, but one time he was in Navadvip, and there was another, just like at Srivasangam, devotees were starting to do kirtan. Other people started to do this also. It wasn't just at Srivasangam, Srivas Thakur's house. Just like here, we have kirtan in somebody's house, and then somebody else has one, somebody else has one. So somebody in Kulia was having a kirtan. And Vakrishra Pandit heard about it, and he went there, and he started to dance, and he started to, and everybody was just dancing. For 6 hours, they danced, and what happened was that the crowd started getting really big. They started moving in, and Devananda Pandit was there, and he saw that Vakrishra Pandit was in such ecstasy, he needed room to twirl around and dance and jump. So he took a cane, and he was a very respectable Bhagavat reciter, Brahmin. So he took a cane and he would stand there and he would keep everybody at bay so that Vakrishra Pandit could just let loose and enjoy the kirtan. He was dancing, chanting, spinning and falling on the ground and getting up and just 6 hours. At the end of the kirtan, then Devananda Pandit went to Vakrishra Pandit and fell at his feet and offered his obeisances. And Devananda Pandit said to him, Krishna Bhakti Hok. May you attain devotion to Lord Krishna. From that moment, just like we just read, Tirthi Kurvanti Tirthani, that devotees of the Lord carry the Supreme Personality of Godhead within their hearts. This verse by Maharaj Yudhisthira, he's saying that because you carry the Supreme Personality in your heart, wherever you go, that place becomes a place of pilgrimage. It's not that you have to go to a place of pilgrimage to become purified. You actually go to the holy places to purify them, because so many people come and dump their accumulated sinful reactions there when they bathe in the river, when they do different ceremonies. They actually go. People go to holy places to become freed from their past sinful reactions. They want to become purified. And those holy places absorb those sinful reactions. They become, as you can see, even physically in holy places today, like Vrindavan. how it's becoming polluted. It's not just material energy, it's actually accumulated sinful reactions. People come and dump them and leave them there and perform activities so that they can become free. Then when a pure devotee comes, he cleanses that, like we can see how Srila Prabhupada was a walking tirtha. So when Vikreshwara Pandit blessed Devananda Pandit, then Devananda's, even though he had his previous offenses, his devotion awakened, and he became absorbed in serving the devotees and serving Krishna. So when Mahaprabhu came back to visit his mother before he went to Ramakeli, he was in Navadvip, he actually blessed Devananda. He told him, because you have served Vakreshwara, I have noticed you. Vakreshwara is fully imbued with the Lord's transcendental energy, and whoever becomes devoted to him attains the lotus feet of Sri Krishna. His heart is the personal abode of Sri Krishna, and as Sri Krishna dances, so Vakreshwara also dances. Wherever one can get his association of Vakreshwara, that place is the sum total of all holy places, and as good as Sri Vaikuntha. So this is, he also told them a nice one, I remember, that he said, previously you used your voice, your tongue, to blaspheme this devotee, Srivastava Thakura. Now you take the same tongue and drink the ambrosia, drink the nectar of Krishna's holy name, and you'll become purified. So we're in the same boat, same circumstances, where previously our tongues were not engaged in the service of Krishna, but now we can become purified by using them. And finally, when Mahaprabhu took sannyas, Vakreshwara Pandit also went and was very intimately associated. Every day he would go to Tota Gopinath and listen to Gadadhar Pandit's classes on Srimad Bhagavatam. And he had a disciple. His disciple was little Gopal Guru. And in Kasi Misra's house was where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to stay, in a little room there called Gambira. And Vakreshwara Pandit was very instrumental in helping to establish that atmosphere at Kasi Misra's house. King Pachaparudra's father, Purusottamadev, as you can read in Jai Jagannath, went south and conquered a king in near Vishakhapatnam. Forget the name of the town. Vijayanagar, thank you. And as a tribute, he brought back three deities with him, Bada Ganesh, Sakshi Gopal, and Radhakanta. And these deities were established in the Jagannath temple. But it describes that there was some disturbance between Lord Jagannath and Sakshi Gopal, so they moved Sakshi Gopal to make a separate temple, and now between Bhuvaneshwara and Puri, there's the Sakshi Gopal temple. So he has his own temple. And similarly, one time, the story goes, that King Pachaparudra had a dream, and Lord Jagannath came to him and said, this deity Radhakanta, this deity Kanta, he keeps taking all the nice offerings that are offered to me. He steals them before I can enjoy them. So he should be removed from my temple. Kasi Misra was practically like King Pachaparudra's guru. Every day, King Pachaparudra, when he was in Puri, he had his office, his main headquarters in Cuttack. But he would come to Puri periodically, and whenever he was in Puri, he would go to Kasi Misra's house, and his daily ritual was that he would massage Kasi Misra's feet. So he told Kasi Misra about this dream, and he said, I need to find some place where we can have this deity. So Kasi Misra said, yes, you can bring him to my house. So a few years ago, they had a diorama exhibit. Can't remember what the festival was, in Kasi Misra's house. Generally, when you go into Kasi Misra's house, the Radhakanta Math, now the deity is established there. You go in, and to your left-hand side, as soon as you walk in, the deities are there. There's, at the time, this was only the deity of Krishna. After Mahaprabhu had left, then Vakreshwara Pandit and Gopal Guru installed Radharani and Lalita and some Gornitai deities. So they're there now. And then most of us have gone there. And then you walk in and there's the little area where there's the Gambira, where the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's personal items there. And the guys are singing, Nithai Guru Radharani, Hare Krishna, Hare Ram. But at this time of the exhibit, you could walk into the back of the house. Kasi Mistry's house is huge. It's like 30, 40, 50 rooms in the back. It just keeps going and going. Sometimes India is like that. You walk into this little courtyard and then all of a sudden it's like beautiful inside. So many rooms and houses. So Kasi Mistry was a well-to-do personality. And Radhakanta was established there. And Gopal Guru took over the service after they had left. And then his disciple, Dhyanachandra Goswami, took over the service, and he wrote a padati on meditation of Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, how you meditate on Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and then escalate into the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. And today, in Radha Kund, most of the Babaji's are part of that line coming from Vakreshwara Pandit. So he's extremely influential in the Gaudiya Vaishnav community at large. Maybe not so much ISKCON, because we follow another path. It's another line, another branch of the tree. So Vakreshwara Pandit is Tirthi Kurvanti Tirthani. He's a walking Tirtha. He's Krishna. So let us understand why and how this verse is being used. Adan, can you put it back to verse 103? Oh, sorry, 3. And then I'll just read them. We're in the same chapter, text 3. And I'm just going to read how this conversation, how this verse fits into our conversation and what Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is doing. What's happened is that Adi Leela, the Adi Leela of Chaitanya Charitamrita, is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's it's descriptions of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu, Advaitacharya, and the different devotees, and then Lord Chaitanya in 5 features, and then his childhood pastimes, his appearance, and his different activities up to the age of 24, when he took sannyas. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu manifested for 48 years. So the Adi Leela is the first 24 years. Madhya Leela is 6 years in between. Then after the 6 years, traveling to South India that we just read, then he comes back to Puri, then he goes up to Bengal, meets Rupa and Sanatan, then comes back to Puri, then again goes to Vrindavan, and then comes back to Puri. And then after that, 6 years, he remained in Puri for another 18 years. That's the Antya Leela. So there's Adi Leela, Madhya Leela, and Antya Leela. And what Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is doing is more or less in the Madhya Leela, following Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's travels and narrating at the exact same time. It's a literary genius how he does that. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas, then he traveled south. As he traveled south, he came to Ramuna. Who remembers the deity that's in Ramuna? Shirachara Gopinath. Then there's the whole pastime of Madhavendra Puri. Madhavendra Puri's Puri. Remember, they went to Ramuna, they were spent the night, they got the kheer, and Lord Chaitanya narrated the pastimes of Madhavendra Puri. So we have that whole leela. Then he continued on, and he came to Sakshi Gopal, which is still north of Puri, south of Ramuna. So as he traveled, then there was the whole pastime of Sakshi Gopal. Then he arrived in Jagannath Puri, and they have the whole pastime of him passing out and going to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's house, staying there for 2 months, and then leaving to go to South India. And for the last month and a half, 2 or 3 months, we've been reading about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's travels in South India. Now, what happens is that Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, to write a book on somebody's life and have all the different features of it blend together nicely takes so much expertise. So we'll read about how he blends this now and goes back to the beginning when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu first came to Jagannath Puri and then left for South India and what happened in Puri at that time. So, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu departed, this is text 3. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu departed for South India, King Pachaparudra called Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya to his palace. When Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya met with the king offered him a seat with all respects and inquired about news of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The king said to the Bhattacharya, "I've heard that a great personality has come from Bengal and is staying in your home. I've also heard that he's very, very merciful. I've also heard that this great personality has shown you great favor. At any rate, this is what I hear from the people in general. Now, being merciful upon me, you should do me the favor of arranging an interview." The Bhattacharya replied, "Yes, all that you've heard is true. As far as an interview is concerned, it's very difficult to arrange. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is in the renounced order and is very much detached from worldly affairs. He stays in solitary places, and even in dreams he does not grant interviews to a king. Still, I would have tried to arrange an interview, but he's recently left on a tour for South India." The king asked, why did he leave Jagannath Puri? The Bhattacharya replied, "Such are the pastimes of a great personality. Great saints go to the holy places of pilgrimage in order to purify them. For that reason, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is visiting many tirthas and delivering many, many conditioned souls." And then our verse today. "Saints of your caliber are in themselves places of pilgrimage. Because of their purity, they are constant companions of the Lord, and therefore they can purify even the places of pilgrimage. A Vaishnava travels to the places of pilgrimage to purify them and reclaim fallen conditioned souls. This is one of the duties of a Vaishnava. Actually, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not a living entity, but the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. Consequently, he is fully independent controller. Yet in his position as a devotee, he carries out the activities of a devotee. So what Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is doing, and what Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya is doing, is creating an anticipation of who Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is and how to meet him. This will go on for four more chapters until King Pachaparudra finally meets Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This buildup of anticipation is called Purvaraga. Purvaraga is the kind of condition we're in. Although we're feeling separation from Krishna, we haven't met Krishna, been with Krishna, and then had separation. That's not what we really experience. We don't remember and have that experience of being with Krishna, like the residents of Vrindavan, and then having him leave. So Purvaraga is slightly different. It's an anticipation of meeting. It's very tasty and very wonderful reciprocation with the Lord as one develops and that bhavas and the emotions and the inspiration and eagerness to meet, grow. That is very tasty and this is what Krishnadas Kaviraj is going to do, is blend and weave this interest of King Pachaparudra to meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu through the next four chapters. And he's doing it by explaining what a great person he is and how by meeting him. Look at the Prabhupada memories. Everybody loves to watch those. Everybody loves to hear somebody sit down who met Srila Prabhupada and just tell stories about their, what happened when they were with him. Because he embodied, he had Krishna within his heart. And whoever was with him would feel that and become awakened. So this is the idea that the devotee, the pure devotee, saints of your caliber, it's not everybody does that. We all know that. We all experience it. It's very rare to come in contact with somebody who's that exalted that as soon as you see and come into contact with him, you just feel blissful and exchanges of love develop. So what is the history of the verse? Can we go to that verse 12? No. Oh, that's good. Yeah, why don't we? I'll read the purport to that. This is Yes. What happens? Now, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, I just explained how what he does is he takes a literary instrument of describing how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu traveled south, then went all the way south, traveled the whole south, and then he brings the conversation back to before he left, or just after he left. So in time, he actually goes back to Back to the Future. So now, what Sukadeva Goswami does, what Srila Vyasadeva does in the Srimad Bhagavatam, is the exact opposite. What he does in the beginning of the Srimad Bhagavatam is describe the events that happened just after the Battle of Kurukshetra and the subsequent rule of the Pandavas, their retiring timely. But in the interim of that, he also describes how Vidura returned to Hastinapur after years of traveling to holy places in the first canto. In the third canto, he describes how Vidura met Maitreya and learned all about the creation of the universe. Third and fourth cantos are Maitreya speaking to Vidura. So this verse in particular is what happened was that there was a disturbance. Vidura was explaining to Dhritarashtra as his minister how he should give some land to the Pandavas. They're the rightful heirs. They're the sons of your brother. Give him some land. Give them some villages. Give them some place to rule. They're Kshatriyas. This is their nature. This is how they survive. It's called Vidura Niti. It's part of the Mahabharata. It's famous. So overhearing this, Duryodhana became furious and he stormed in and he started blaspheming Vidura. You son of a maidservant. Get out of here. Who are you? Why are you here? Who are you? So Vidura left home prior to the Battle of Kurukshetra. It's a long time he was out of town. Real long time. When he was traveling, he came to Prabhaskshetra and met Uddhava. Remember in the third canto? And Uddhava starts remembering how Krishna had left and explains to him that Krishna had left the planet. So Vidura had still been gone that whole time from before the Battle of Kurukshetra all the way to the time of Krishna's disappearance. Then, knowing that his brother, Dhritarashtra, was still in the palace in Hastinapur, he went to save him and liberate him and instruct him. You nonsense. Being maintained by Bhima, who killed all your children, you're just like a dog. Taking scraps, your teeth are old, your teeth are falling out, your kidneys are failing, such a nonsense. You should leave here. Get out of this palace. And actually saved his brother. But when he came back, after all those years of traveling, Maharaj Yudhisthira received him very respectfully. Vidura had always been partial to the Pandavas. So this verse was spoken by Maharaj Yudhisthira to Vidura when he returns from that pilgrimage. So let us just read Srila Prabhupada's purport on the verse, which wasn't in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. My Lord, devotees like your good self are verily holy places personified. Because you carry the personality of Godhead within your heart, you turn all places into places of pilgrimage. Purport. The personality of Godhead is omnipresent by his diverse potencies everywhere. Just as the power of electricity is distributed everywhere within space. Excuse me. Similarly, the Lord's omnipresence is perceived and manifested by his unalloyed devotees like Vidura, just as electricity is manifested in an electric bulb. A pure devotee like Vidura always feels the presence of the Lord everywhere. He sees everything as the potency of the Lord and the Lord in everything. The holy places all over the earth are meant for purifying the polluted consciousness of the human being by an atmosphere surcharged with the presence of the Lord's unalloyed devotees. If anyone visits a holy place, he must search out the pure devotees residing in such holy places, take lessons from them, try to apply such instructions in practical life, and thus, gradually, prepare oneself for the ultimate salvation, going back to Godhead. To go to some holy place of pilgrimage does not mean only to take a bath in the Ganges or the Jamuna, or to visit the temples situated in those places. It's an extremely important point. It's not a tour. It's not just a place to visit. It's not a vacation. It's actually supposed to go there. The essence of the holy places is to find devotees who are describing the glories of the Lord. Not simply to take a bath or go see a deity and hear the pastimes of the deity. That's wonderful. It's nice. It's transcendental. But the real essence of what the acharyas are teaching us is to go and hear from pure devotees. One should also find representatives of Madhura who have no desire in life save and except to serve the personality of Godhead. The personality of Godhead is always with such pure devotees because of their unalloyed service, which is without any tinge of fruit of action or utopian speculation. They are in the actual service of the Lord, specifically by the process of hearing and chanting. The pure devotees hear from the authorities and chant, sing, and write the glories of the Lord. Mahamuni Vyasadeva heard from Narada, and he chanted in writing. Sukadeva Goswami studied from his father and described it to Parikshit. That is the way of Srimad Bhagavatam. So by their actions, the pure devotees of the Lord can render any place into a place of pilgrimage, and the holy places are worth the name only on their account. Such pure devotees are able to rectify the polluted atmosphere of any place, what to speak of a holy place, rendered unholy by the questionable actions of interested persons who try to adopt a professional life at the cost of the reputation of the holy place. So this is a bit of the explanation of how this verse fits into the story, the history of the verse itself, and a bit about Vikrishna Pandit, who's also a traveling place of pilgrimage. And we have a nice audio clip, lecture clip from Srila Prabhupada also explaining from this verse, from the Dura.
So here, when Vidura came, returned back, so Yudhishthira is receiving the uncle. He was also, he knew that our uncle Vidura was always in our side and tried to protect us. So he was very pleased. So Vidura, during the time of war, between the two sections, who has traveled in the holy places?
So therefore he's explaining how Vidura was a place of pilgrimage just by his presence. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that's why he traveled to the holy places to purify. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya is inspiring and at the same time teaching King Pachaparudra. So any questions or comments? Madam Mahan.
I was just remembering one song where it says, in your presence sins go far away. Think about the spiritual master. So that same principle, and most of us have some remembrance or experience when we were with Prabhupada. Before he got there, there was all these different complaints and difficulties that everybody was experiencing in the temple. And then Prabhupada said, how's everything? And you couldn't remember anything. Anybody else have that experience? Just in his presence, there's everything so nice.
Dad, Madamati.
Anyway, nice. Thank you very much for the nice lecture, Guruva Prabhu. It just comes to my mind when Srila Prabhupada, many times in a few places, he went in trance, chanting Jaya Radha Madhava, just a proof. You know, he was always in trance and meditating on Krishna, Radha Krishna. So it purified the place wherever he went, he, you know, the Vrindavan mood, you know. Maybe that's one of the reasons too that we feel totally transcendental in his presence, always. And in the one lecture he describes, Srila Prabhupada mentions that all the major religions of the world, they have a holy place. And as we see in Mecca, you know, or in Jerusalem, Israel, and in the Kumbh Melas, Prabhupada attended the Kumbh Melas, right? So Vrindavan, Mayapur are the main for the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, you know, the holy places. But Prabhupada, you know, he brought Vrindavan, Mayapur all over the world. He traveled many places. And such a personality like Prabhupada, you know.
Because in the Nectar of Devotion, in the section where it talks about going from Sadhana Bhakti to Raganuga Bhakti, you know this verse, Prema Bhakti Yaha Hoiti Avidya Vinase Jati, that Prema Bhakti emanates from him. It's described that when one is in the presence of a pure devotee, naturally devotion awakens within. And we have experience in our own society how people that were associating with Prabhupada when he was present had become leaders of the society and thought they had attained a higher plane of devotion in that presence. When that presence disappeared, then we see that the ability to maintain that dissipated somewhat. For almost all of them that took positions of gurus and things like that, most of them had difficulty because it's like holding on to a life preserver when you're in the ocean. It holds you up, it buoys you. And then all of a sudden you let it go and you thought you could swim better than you could, but the buoy's no longer there. Whoops.
That reminded me of Balavanta. I was talking with him one time and he said that we were thinking that we were the lights. And then he says we were reflectors.
Reflection.
So
nice.
You see these really bright lights on the street as you're driving along, but the reflectors.
The yellow ones in the middle of the street?
Yeah, and they look like they're lit up, but they're just reflecting. And he says, but when you turn off your light, they don't have the light.
Yeah, you said Lord Jagannath wanted Sakshi Gopal off the altar. That was it, because Sakshi was stealing all the...
No, that was Radhakanta.
Radhakanta.
But Sakshi Gopal also, I think...
What was the deal with Sakshi Gopal?
With Sakshi Gopal, I'd have to look it up. I just remember, I think it... Do you remember? Do you know it, Wendy? No. I think Prabhupada mentions in the purport in that story that there was some disturbance. Doesn't mention what it was. Madhumati? But this one I read this morning that, huh? Oh. So you're next.
I was thinking the start of your class, you're mentioning about and how he had offended Shivas Thakur. And then you mentioned about how he was able to, he gave benediction to Rakesha Pandit after
He received the benediction of the Rakesha Pandit.
Yes, after. I guess the question
came. Did he apologize or did to Shivas Pandit? You didn't mention about that.
Pundarik, did he? Do you know? There's no mention of that. The point was that because he rendered service, he didn't actually offend Srivas Thakur. His disciples did, and he didn't stop it.
But he didn't stop them, yeah.
So
yeah.
That's one point. Mm-hmm. The next is that it's not described, but because he served Rakeshwara Pandit, and because Rakeshwara Pandit was so powerful and accepted his service and benedicted him, then apparently that counteracted his offense to Srivas Thakur. He never continued that offensive mentality. He became service. But I don't think there's any real description of him going to Srivas Thakur, is there? Yeah. I don't know, that's important. Pandrik? Yeah.
I heard from Jai Pataka Maharaj this something story about how they was it Purushottam Dev?
Yes, Pachapurudra's father.
Pachapurudra's father. So I think the daughter of Vijayanagar was supposed to be married to, I guess, Pachapurudra.
Yes.
And the minister came from Vijayanagar to Jagannath Puri to make the arrangements for this marriage. But this came during the time of the Rath Yatra. And he saw that the king was sweeping the street for Lord Jagannath, and he said that how we can marry our daughter to this street sweeper? We can't. This is we'll have to call off the. So he went back and he told the king, and he said, "No, we'll have to call off the marriage." So the king, Jagannath Puri king, when he heard that this was called off because of this allegation, he was sweeping the street for Lord Jagannath, he became very upset. This is an insult to Lord Jagannath. We'll have to have war against this other kingdom because they used to fight only on religious principles. So they, even though I think the way he said it is that the Vijayanagar Empire was much more powerful at that time. At least that's the way Maharaj described it. That so they got their army together and they started marching towards this Vijayanagar kingdom like that. And he says on the way, just before their army, it was a little bit before, in advance of their army, there's two young personalities on horses. They went to this one village and they said that they're very hungry. They saw one lady with some yogurt, and they said, "We're very hungry. Please give us some yogurt." And she was very charmed by them. He said, "All right, you can have some yogurt." So I took the yogurt and said, "Now, what about paying me?" They have to. She said, "Well, we don't have anything right now, but the king, Purushottam, with his army is coming very soon. You just show them this ring, and then he'll take care of you very nicely." So the following day or something, when the army came there, this lady, she demanded to see the king, and she showed them this ring that these two young soldiers had given like that. And Lord Purushottam looked at the ring and said, "This is Lord Jagannath's ring. How have you gotten this ring?" So she described them very, one was very dark and one was very light colored like that. And anyway, he was very, this way they went there and they had a very successful campaign, and they thought the beauty was back like that, with the help of Lord Jagannath and Lord Balaram.
Hari Om, Vakrishwar Pandit Ki Jai, Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai.